officials Bobby Geyer and Josh Thomas. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you for having us. Our intention was to be here earlier in the winter, but because of weather, our presentation has been delayed. There has been some activities on the Metropolitan Planning Organization to date, so we want to bring you up to speed on what's happening and how this occurred. And then whatever questions you have for us, we'd be happy to answer. Okay. First of all, a Metropolitan Planning Organization. There are three currently operating within the state of Delaware. WMAPCO, which is the Wilmington Area Planning Council, covers all of Newcastle County, including Cecil County, Maryland. We have the Dover-Kent MPO, which covers all of Kent County. And for the last 10 years, we've been working with Salisbury on the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO, which covered part of Delmar. MPOs have been required by federal transportation laws since 1964, and generally the areas are designated as urban. Areas are defined by the U.S. Census Bureau. So what brings us here is that in the 2010 census, there were urban clusters that were identified along the 13 corridor from Delmar up to Seaford. The Metropolitan Planning Organization is responsible for all kinds of planning within the area. Right now, that area is limited up to Seaford, but you know, the discussion for the county will be how far we want to include that planning area. We can go outside those urban areas for just the planning process. But we call it the 3C planning process, continuing because we do a long-range plan every 4 years. In fact, we just had a meeting with the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO in Seaford in February because they're just updating their long-range transportation plan. Comprehensive because it includes all modes of transportation, not just highways, but bike, pedestrian, and rail planning as well. And cooperative because it's done with the land use agencies that it involves. The urbanized area is defined solely by the Census Bureau. And it's this particular expansion happened because in the year 2000, Salisbury was identified as an urban core because it exceeded 50,000 people. So that's when that Metropolitan Planning Organization was established, and they decided to include all of Wicomico County. DelDOT attended those meetings, but we were not a voting member. In 2010, the Census Bureau then told us that they had identified urban clusters all up Route 13 and that we had to be a part of the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO planning area. So to that end, we have been working with the state of Maryland in making that happen, and we've already signed a memorandum of understanding between the states. And, you know, we're now identifying and going into some of the bylaw stuff. I'm sorry I'm skipping around, yeah, but it's, you know. But in 2010, we were told that this population occurred in and around this area. So hence the reason, and we can show the map showing where the expansion was. Mostly it is along the alternate 13 there, but through a series of things that are very hard to explain, you know, we've designated all the way up to Seaford as part of the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO. Okay, what does this mean for the county? Well, there are, as you can see from the map, areas that are in the unincorporated area, not just in Seaford, Laurel, or Del Mar. And the MPO will also expand by three voting members. One will be from Delaware DOT, one will be from the county, and one from one of the municipalities. I've had conversations with both Laurel and Seaford, and Dolores has indicated that Seaford would like to participate on the TAC and the council. And also, it'll be a coordination of all the capital projects within the urbanized area, and that the transportation improvement program that comes from the MPO will be assimilated into the state's capital transportation program. And the TIP and the CTP must match. The next steps, as I said before, there has been an MOU signed between DelDOT and MDOT. And the next meeting of the MPO TAC and Council is on April 9th. And hopefully the meetings will be quarterly. This year, or this time, they're both on the same day, but normally the TAC meetings occur prior to the council so that the TAC member, who is usually the technical person, is advising the person sitting on the council as to what to vote. So we'll make sure that's brought up at the next meetings in on April 9th. As I mentioned before, we already had two meetings, one in Salisbury and one in Seaford, on the update of their long-range transportation plans. Another issue that was brought up at our last meeting of the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO was a name change, a possible name change of incorporating Sussex County into the name of the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO, Salisbury-Western Sussex MPO, or something to that effect. So that's something that you can think about and that Todd could raise, or whoever is the appointed member of the council can raise at the next meeting or subsequent meetings. And also, I would just ask that a letter come from the county, whoever it is, someone on council, and who is going to be the representative on the technical advisory committee and on the council. So with that, if there are any questions or comments.
Well,
Mrs. Deaver.
I'm not the greatest of all with maps. I'm just wondering, we just adopted or approved scenic byway. Would you like to come up front? You can hear better up front. We approved a scenic byway in that area, in that general area. I'm just wondering if that's included in that or not. And let's see, it was
Western Sussex through Seaford,
yeah, was,
and the Nanticoke.
Western Sussex, exactly. Wondering.
Yeah,
it is included in that.
It would be included. Any planning projects or any projects of that would be included in what we would be doing as planning. There is a limited amount of funds. I think it's over $2 million that are appropriated to the state for expenditures for the MPOs. WMAPCO has a big staff, separate office, a director. Dover Kent MPO has a director and three or four staff people. The Salisbury-Wicomico MPO is actually run out of the Wicomico County planning office. So, their administrative costs aren't that great. But some of the monies that would have gone to WMAPCO or Dover Kent will now have to be reappropriated, so we'll be paying a portion of some of the, for some of the planning studies that would be done in
that area.
Does that
coincide with potential zoning or rezoning? How does that work?
No, it's just for transportation project planning. It wouldn't have to do with any rezoning or
use. It's not rezoning, of course, land use is not. However, it can be related, and I'm just wondering if there's any coordination whatsoever on that. Roads matter.
Yeah, well, the MPOs were specifically set up in the early 60s to make sure that the land use agencies were coordinating with the transportation agencies.
That's
why you know, the TAC and the council are made up of transportation officials as well as the land use agency.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
That's good news.
Right. Yes, it is good news.
Yeah, okay.
Anything else, Ms. Deaver?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Cool. Bobby, I'm just always concerned about the group. How large is the planning group? Or you got three new members would be from Sussex because of this?
I think it's 11.
Josh Thomas, also with DelDOT. Okay. This would be 12 members.
Okay, so there's 12. Well, that's all I wanted. 12 members.
And it's sort of balanced with the population figures because it was 9 before. So with the new population figures coming in, they added 3 more. So.
All right. My only concern is, I guess, if this group can get funding and there's 12 members and there's only 3 from Sussex County, that it doesn't really, you know, benefit us too much because we could always be outvoted and lose.
Actually, that's in the sorry to cut you off.
Okay,
that's actually
used to getting cut off.
Well, no, that's actually addressed in the bylaws, I believe. Mm-hmm. Is it correct, Bobby?
Yeah, which
they've addressed
will be
that with certain quorums. So the Delaware money has to be spent in Delaware, and also the Maryland people can't vote on the Delaware money if they're the correct number of Delaware.
Well, that's good news. Right.
And those details are outlined in the bylaws, which I believe we're going to be discussing the bylaws.
Yeah, and the April 9th.
Okay, you sound like you've covered some of that for the bylaws. The second question is, if you went from Del Mar to north of Bridgeville on the way to Kent County, we easily have 50,000 people in that corridor. Would we be better served if we started a Sussex, Western Sussex County MPO, and forget about Wicomico County in Maryland?
Well, unfortunately, the designation for MPO comes directly from the Census Bureau. So we've asked that question of federal highways. If at some point, and I have a map of all the urbanized areas.
Yeah, we could easily get 50,000 people, in my opinion. It's growing like crazy.
There's 75,000 in the eastern part of the county of clusters. However, they're not close enough that they could be designated as an urban core.
However, in the next census, which will be in 2020, that could occur. Mm-hmm. But from what I understand from federal highways, is to decouple the western part of Sussex County from the Salisbury-Wicomico MPO is not going to be feasible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know, legislatively or through
I understand.
Just
a question I would have, sometimes it's very awkward for two states, two counties in different states to jointly get things done. And it's hard enough to get things done when it's just here at Sussex County.
I concur. And one of the other hurdles is that Sussex County is an air quality non-attainment area. And
what was that? I didn't hear.
Sussex County is a non-attainment area, so we have to do an air quality.
What do you mean by that?
This is a Mike DeRoss question. that we have to do testing to make sure that any project that's done in it's Sussex County, believe it or not, Kent County is an attainment area, so that they don't have to go through this. And Newcastle County is a non-attainment area. But every project, if it's regionally significant, has to go through some air quality analysis.
Mm-hmm. So Sussex is behind Kent and Newcastle now. Is that correct?
Newcastle is also non-attainment.
Yeah, Newcastle is a non-attainment area.
So Kent County is attainment, and the Newcastle and Sussex County are non-attainment, so we have to do air quality in both those counties.
Who bringing this up?
This is a Clean Air Act.
This is an EPA
requirement.
EPA.
And if we don't follow that through, what happens?
Lose funding?
Federal funding.
Federal funding. What
money?
This is something that we already do.
Yeah. And I only bring it up because Sussex County is subject to this thing, and it hasn't affected any of the projects.
We're only subjects if we bow to our leaders. That's the only time we become a subject.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're quick to throw in your caps, whatever you send down, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I'm sorry, with who authorized you to have these meetings, and you voted in bylaws, and we're not even.
We haven't voted in the bylaws yet.
Well, you just said to George here that you told the three members from Sussex County is going to be on it, and you've already made these agreements. You had to have some kind of meeting.
We. We have a draft, which I sent to Todd. We are meeting on April 9th to discuss the bylaws, if there could be changes.
And what you told Mr. Cole is not concrete again. You're assuming these are, what you're going to do.
These are draft bylaws, a draft prospectus.
That's correct. Right. It's a draft.
Right. Okay.
So when you answered Mr. Cole and gave him the answer, said you people will be taking part of it, then it's not concrete. Make it plain. You've got to talk plain to me. You can't say it's either concrete or it's not concrete.
I got one more question, Mr. President.
Go ahead.
I have one, Tom.
Mr. Cole,
my evil twin brother Sam Wilson took over for me there for a second. The question would be how would this again affect, because transportation is part of our land use planning, land use plan that we're going to be adopting and going through forward with. I'd just be curious if somebody could, somebody get Todd to tell us how this will impact our planning for our new land use plan, how it fits in, how the MPO and how these 12 people will influence the decisions we make in Western Sussex County for now. So that would be just something. I know you don't have the answer for it, but I think it's something we would like to see, how it all fits together, how the puzzle looks when we get to all this.
As when you did your last comprehensive update, I attended every meeting, and the state worked on the mobility element of the comprehensive plan. Josh is the Sussex County planner, and he will be following Janelle around the whole county this time when you do your update again. Mm-hmm. But, again, the purpose of the MPO is to coordinate your land use decisions with the transportation projects that are needed to meet, the demands that we see in the future. And that's why the long-range plans are projections for 25, 30 years as to what's going to be
when you're
needed.
Making decisions in Dover, Bobby, then for Sussex County, how do you have to refer to the MPO before you can finalize anything you do now, right?
Well, the projects that are federally funded that are in the MPO Transportation Improvement Program have to be in the Capital Transportation Program for the state. So there's like a two-phase process where the project would be prioritized by probably the Sussex members of the MPO, and then it would go to the state for their prioritization, but it would have to be.
I'm just worried about the pot of money is if there's $10 million allocated to Delaware.
There isn't.
The MPO can't.
It's not going to affect the federal
elsewhere.
Funding for projects.
I mean, I hate to see any funding that's due for Sussex County to even not just go to Maryland. I don't want it to go to Newcastle County.
No, it's not. That won't happen.
I'd like, because we got so much need down here. We hate to see it trickle away.
Well, as always,
you're saying that this won't have any impact on the current money stream.
The only guaranteed money that will come to the MPO is through this apportionment.
Okay.
For the administrative costs and planning studies.
Right. Mm-hmm.
As far as capital money, that has to be in the Transportation Improvement Program through the MPO and then has to be adopted this capital.
Todd will watch it. Hopefully Todd will report back to us as he goes through it, but I think that's all.
I would think maybe that your report might encourage funding, who knows, for Sussex County roads. I have to tell you, a picture of our roads and Maryland roads there's a vast difference. I'm wondering is that a problem, in how you work with this? We have different, very different roads, let's put it that way.
Better or worse?
Well, of course we're better.
I understand you're working on rail too, correct? As part of rail?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now.
Hold just 1 second, Sam, just 1 second.
You're right.
Mrs. Deaver, are you finished?
Well, I don't have an answer because I wondered if that's a problem. I mean, as soon as you get over on the Maryland side up Route 50, you've got a beautiful road. I'm sorry, but it's trees in the middle, and you can lots of lanes, and it's real different than our county.
That's where you come from.
I'm just saying, You know, I'm just wondering, how do you work with that? Or is that even an issue?
I don't think it's an issue.
Okay, good.
Because it's still going to be designed and built within, you know, our standards here in the state. So,
Delaware.
Right.
Again.
Delaware standards.
Okay.
Yes.
Got you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Ms. Deaver?
No, thanks.
Mr. Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. President.
You go.
Well, talking about rails here.
Okay.
And I'm talking about air quality.
Okay.
And we've already shut down two generating plants, down to Indian River.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I understand talking to some of the people that they're about to shut down the third one. For the main reason is our air quality is bad, and we want to shut down more coal. We don't want coal coming in this county. I'm really not proud to be part of this organization that thinks like that, to be honest with you.
Well, we just finished our freight plan for the state, and one of the concerns we had is, you know, if coal is not part of the equation, which drives a lot of the rail down and pays for a lot of the rail freight that comes down here, what's going to happen to the rail line coming into Sussex County? That is a concern, and it's something, you know, we've thought about. I understand that the Seaford Bridge has been closed for repairs, which is a good thing because Norfolk Southern has had to step up and do repairs to a 100-year-old swing bridge. And that's a concern for people in Salisbury and Wicomico County who depend on freight shipments that have to come through Seaford for that. But, yes, I mean, we looked at that, and it is a concern. If the coal goes away, that pays for a lot of the freight coming down to Sussex County.
You know, also coal helps supply the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that? You know, one of the ingredients that we have to buy that the general public is paying for, taking it out, and we have to turn around and have to buy it back. You know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
That's sulfur.
Mm-hmm.
One of the main ingredients in growing plants, farmers today are buying at least 20 pounds of sulfur per acre to put back on their plants because we don't have the sulfur. And so, in one sense, it's like we're finishing a rope to hang ourselves. That's what we're doing here.
Well, I have to tell you that we've done two related studies to our freight plan, which was titled the Delmarva Freight Plan.
Sure.
We didn't just look at Delaware. We looked at shipments of freight because it doesn't stop at the state line. Freight travels through the Delmarva Peninsula. But one of the studies we're working on now is the agricultural supply chain study. So we should have some, our consultant is probably going to be interviewing a lot of people around the state.
So if you're cutting off half the business by the coal that's coming down and shipping back agriculturally, you're cutting down these businesses. That's not government funding, or they're going to have to be, because you're really cutting them short of their work. And it's really good for the public. That's the way I look at it.
Well,
no. Mr. President, may I?
Are you done, Mr. Wilson?
Thank you, Tad.
Mr. Orlett.
To bring us back over towards the MPO, I do have a, and thank you both for being here. I appreciate that. A couple of thoughts. Number one, the bigger picture, keep it simple here. Are we talking about basically partnering with Maryland to provide some public transportation to those in western Sussex County?
Well, I don't think we'd be part. You mean as far as buses and that kind of thing, or are you just talking about in general?
In general.
General. No, I think we're still going to be, you know, just like as in Wamapco, Cecil County does their thing with Maryland, and it's just that it's a coordinated process, and because it's linked by the population and the urban cores, because they identify it as some sort of commuting thing, that it may coordinate more projects that, especially transit on the western part of the county, because a lot of, you know, individuals may have a need to medical facilities or jobs in, you know, in Salisbury. So in that respect, we'll be coordinating more with those kind of agencies. But, you know, road projects, we do modeling based on, you know, traffic flow anyway. So whether it goes, you know, from county to county or from state to state, it's really, you know, just where the traffic is flowing. So
So with all of that being said, I guess, are you here presenting to us for the purposes of letting us know that we as a county will have the opportunity to have three individuals be participants of the board? Is that correct?
Yes.
And the makes of decisions as it relates to public transportation.
We want to introduce the MPO as a resource to you, not as a burdensome thing, because you know, the idea is that if the capital dollars in Delaware are being spent the same way, but now you have this regional connection, you know, you have this body that's going to help coordinate those regional projects, and you're going to get additional money for planning studies that you didn't have before. So our goal was to present this as a resource to you, and you know, and with your transit question as well, it's like, well, Delaware is still going to operate DART, and Maryland's still going to operate short transit, but with with these people together at the table to discuss regional connections, that maybe before you wouldn't have been able to say, okay, well, what if we connected short transit and DART here in Del Mar? And what if we had a way for people to transfer to the short transit buses and get to Ocean City or something like that? So it's not gonna take any money away from us, you know, from Sussex County. It's just a way of getting that discussion from a regional standpoint. And this is something for you, you know, if I might also add, I mean, this is almost like a warm-up round in a way, because if you end up getting the growth on the eastern side, you know, and with the next census, we may be able to do this countywide. We don't know, because we don't know what, you know, how the population is going to pan out.
Sure. And then two other quick questions, and that is, but I would think in the end goal here, the purpose would be to perhaps provide some public transportation at some point in time through DelDOT, through DART, and then collaborate with Maryland. So the folks that perhaps might live in my district, let's say in Laurel or Del Mar, have the opportunity to get on public transportation to zip on down to Salisbury, or vice versa for that matter. Yeah. Right. Is that the end game here?
Mm-hmm. Right, and with the representation on the, you know, on the council and with TAC, those studies and projects can be introduced. Think of it as a way of introducing them as something to look at, and then that's where we find out, okay, you know, where's the money coming from, who's interested, who's going to vote for it.
Okay.
So it's a resource. Ooh.
Very good. And two other points, and then I'll be finished, President. And then that would be, I think in here, your population, looking at the map here, the population is concentrated, at least here in Delaware. I think you shared it also in your presentation, along the old Route 13 highway, right?
Right.
The purple line there. So though in here, you're talking about providing some transportation along 13, yeah. And not the old 13, is that correct?
Right.
So I would see that as a disparity, perhaps, at least on the Delaware side, because how do people get from old line, you know, 13 over to 13, as an example? That would be question number one, or at least an observation, if you would. Number two is I'm reading in here down at the very bottom, I think it's your next two slides, one more. Down at the very bottom there, the TIP and CTP must match. So my question is there a responsibility and obligation now that the county will have some representation of funding from the county to DelDOT?
We haven't had that discussion yet. There are some municipalities that do put in some funding or in-kind match for both the WMAPCO and Dover Ken MPO. But it wouldn't be for the projects, it would be for planning studies. So
that bottom line there, the TIP and the CTP must match.
Those are capital projects.
Understood.
They're
so
not planning projects.
But the funding is coming from what source? That's my question.
It could be, well.
Well, this, you want me to get this one?
Yeah.
This would only be for the federally funded projects. So, for example, if DelDOT, from the state perspective, has a project in the CTP that is a federally funded transportation project, right? So we're getting federal dollars and we're matching it, and that's in the CTP. If it's in Eastern Sussex, that's just coordinated between Sussex County, DelDOT, and of course the federal requirements have to be met. What this would do is, what that last line means, the TIP and the CTP must match, it means that for a similar project in the MPO planning area, it means that it has to also go through the MPO planning process to make sure that it's meeting the regional goals of the MPO. So in the TIP, the CTP, the project needs to be identified and prioritized the same way. You'll hear a lot of discussions going on with WMAPCO and Dover Kent MPO along those same lines. You might have heard of a recent disagreement between DelDOT and Dover-Kent MPO. So it's just that, you know, DelDOT, the state's goals have to be in line with the MPO's goals for that area. And it's probably federal oversight making sure that if we're spending federal money there, that there's a regional connection there, that it makes sense from a regional transportation. And also that the representatives of that MPO agree that's how the money should be spent. Does that answer your question?
Well, it does. I think. One more question. I apologize. Right. I know we have a lot on the agenda today, but does Wicomico County, the other partner in this, do they, as a county, provide funding for this project?
Not for Delaware projects, no.
But I mean, if in this MPO, we're talking about Salisbury up to Seaford, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So in that effort, in the bigger scheme of things, does their county, are they providing dollars to this?
To the administration?
In general.
That I'm not sure. I know some counties do. Newcastle County does, and Kent County provides some funding to the MPO, but I don't know about Wicomico County.
I believe we need to have better transportation, more transportation as needs arise. I truly have to tell you, I'm just wondering, you guys are here as being representatives of DelDOT, correct, giving this presentation, and I'm just wondering if and I don't know, but my radars are always up, I have to tell you, as I have to be. But I'm just wondering if DelDOT is expecting Sussex County to get in the public transportation business and through a front door or through a back door method. And I don't know that to be the case, but I have to provide that as a question because I have to as a public official here in Sussex County. So that's why I see those. When I say must match, if you are going to participate, you will pay. And so for me as the elected official, and some, you know, Del Mar and part of Laurel are in my district, so these are important questions that I have to know.
Actually, I think the CTP and the TIP matching, that's actually more on us, on DelDOT.
Right.
Because we need to make sure that, you know, we have to make sure that our projects have been vetted through the MPO Council and voted on. So it's more so like that's what it means for your area of the county. I'm sorry, I keep hitting this microphone. I talk with my hands, I guess.
It's okay.
But it's more of actually something on us to do because, you know, we can't just put something in the CTP now unless it's going through the MPO process. So that's more of a burden on us. The
metropolitan planning process actually makes us coordinate the federal dollars that are spent to make sure that they're spent with the way that growth and, you know, populations are expanding. So that's their stopgap to make sure that we're spending our money wisely. Now, can we fund a project through state funds? Yeah, then it doesn't have to go through this process at all. It's just when you're using federal funding, it has to go through this process in this area.
Okay.
But, you know.
And keep in mind, you're getting more money. You're getting a different apportionment now to do planning that you couldn't do before.
Okay. Very good. Well, I think we need certainly representation for
sure.
So we thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If I may, Mr. President, the terminology or the reference to match isn't a funding match. It's simply a match.
Okay.
Literally, it's matching the projects on the list of projects that we're going to
pretty much
forward.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, that might be a word that's confusing as well. Yeah, we just mean literally you have a list. It's got 10 things on it, 1 to 10. It's got a match. The lists have to match in terms of their verbiage. And the priority and the amount of money you're spending, where it's coming from.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Let us know.
No, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You both. Okay, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Turning now to the first item of business under my agenda items. Is the discussion and possible introduction of a proposed ordinance relating to the removable temporary vendor stands. Recall at our last meeting, there was a presentation given by myself, Mr. Lank, and Mr. Robertson regarding the draft language as it relates to this ordinance. A very good discussion and feedback from the members. We took that feedback and incorporated that into our draft ordinance that was in the packet this week for your review. A couple highlights of some of the items that we made sure were incorporated as a result of last meeting's discussion. You'll see that on the memo that was in the packet. Again, we're only referring to activity that takes place on property that's currently zoned C1 or CR1. The activity was clearly defined in the ordinance as temporary and removable vending stands, including food trucks, but we specifically said, based on the discussion, selling food, food-related, or agriculture products. We incorporated the length of time as 6 months. Again, one stand per parcel. We went back and Mr. Robertson investigated the dimensions so that we could put a specific dimension in place. We utilized the Department of Motor Vehicle dimension of a maximum of 8 feet 6 inches wide and 45 feet long. No changes to the permission that's required, permission from the property owner in writing. A drawing presented where it shows the stand location, a drawing, not a survey. We also inserted under state agency evidence of a valid state of Delaware business license. There's a lot of discussion about the agencies and agency review and proof of agency approval. Because of the discussion and the opinions we heard, we only inserted the business license. We can incorporate anything we want to through the public hearing process, but for today's purposes, that's what's listed. And finally, there's a kick-out clause that allows the Director of Planning and Zoning to require the applicant to seek the Board of Adjustment approval if the director has any concerns upon his review of the application as submitted. This is incorporated into the draft ordinance. Today is merely a procedural process. This will have to go through two levels of public hearing, which is the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then come to the County Council for their public hearing. If there's something that you saw that you have concerns or feedback, we can address that now, or we can prefer to wait until we have our public hearings and can amend the ordinance as such.
I just have one question. I mean, I know sometimes there is seating. I've seen where they have ribs, and they're wonderful, and they have seating all around, you know, the vendors. Is there difference if they come in and sit down, or if they just pick up things? And what do we have to think about in the way of conveniences to the folks that sit down, like restrooms?
Good question.
This ordinance does not address any of those types of activities, including seating and providing services like restrooms. I would say that probably the only thing that this could cover would be the size of the area that the activity would take or cover. If it exceeds that size that we're limiting it to, then it would be a concern, and they would have to go outside of the streamline process and back into the hearing process through a Board of Adjustment hearing.
Otherwise, we are going to streamline it then. That's good.
Correct.
That's
good. If there's no concerns about restrooms or
seating. I just
wanted
to know about seating or no seating, what we're talking about.
No reference to either one.
Okay.
I would follow up on that. I would say maybe we see down on number 9 on your little list of the criteria. Director may require applicant to seek board approval. Maybe we ought to make this this ordinance refer to operations vendors without any seating. If seating is needed, then maybe they ought to, you know, fall into that kick out, because, you know, you might see one table one time, all of a sudden we see 10 tables. And then, you know, so in other words, it could get out of control. So that could be, and I was worried about what kick out means. Director may require applicant to seek board approval, and we would probably want to know, give us some examples, define that. What does that mean? So I could suggest, following up on Mrs. Deaver, seating could be if you want to provide seating, we better go to this, whatever the kick out would require.
That's a great suggestion, and the terminology in my memo is just plain English, and kick out is not referenced in the ordinance. There are specific concerns listed in the ordinance. We listed location, the effects on on-site parking, neighboring properties, roadways, or other good cause. We could specifically
I think that's
specifically
important
list seating as a concern.
Right.
Okay, that would be one thing. The other one would be back to property zoning. I don't see any reason why we wouldn't include neighborhood business B1, because the difference between B1 and C1 is very little, except for it's like car lots and mini storages and stuff like that. So many a shopping center can be a B1 district. Okay, so there's an example. So I don't know why B1 wouldn't be involved. Now, I can understand conditional uses that are businesses, because we have specific conditions. So you'd have to change conditions. So that would probably still have to go through the current process, possibly.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
To take a conditional use, because they're usually the underlying zoning is usually residential. And agency notification, instead of, like you said, evidence number, like 8 state agencies, if we just maybe put in there 8 agency notification, and maybe we identify 3 areas we notify, and one could be like the business license, notify the state that this permit has just been granted, and maybe the health department send a notice, a letter. Whatever they do after that is their business. And maybe even the fire marshal. I don't know if the fire marshal's involved in any of this stuff. Maybe Mike can tell me something about that. But as a courtesy, we send out to these agencies a letter stating that this has been approved. And then we don't have to look at a permit, see if it's, you know, valid, if it's all, you know, all the T's and everything else. But agency notification... Okay, and I think that's it. But I don't see any problem with adding B1 to the property zoning.
Yep.
I mean, it just
they have to ask the property owners. You know, you have to get their approval anyway.
Are those things that we can do during the public hearing process?
Yes,
Everett. I just want to make sure or hear Vince.
Not the B1.
Yeah, we couldn't add B1. That's the only one we couldn't.
Well, that's what I say. I'd like to address some of these things now, because we may be our hands may be tied, and we don't want to drag this out too long. Is there any consensus on adding B1 or not adding B1, or reasons why we shouldn't, Vince?
Well, one of the reasons we didn't was because B1's. Just sort of more restrictive to start with in that zoning district, and it's generally smaller parcels than the C1 and the CR1, so you could end up with a stand on an already limited sized piece of property anyway. So,
but don't we have a drawing to look at and see where it's going to be placed?
I'm just explaining sort of our thought process. Mm-hmm.
That would be the kick out. That would be another kick out, that if is a
size of lot,
right? If there is a parcel and the there would be a negative impact by allowing this vendor to be placed there. So that's again, Todd, could that be added in later as a kick out?
We could. So let me be clear. Today we could not introduce it the way it's in current form, because it expands beyond C1 to B1 if you want to do that. We couldn't introduce it today. We'd have to go back and draft
Couldn't we change it right now?
It involves 2 sections and inserting language and 2 different paragraphs. Okay. I mean, that's more complex than we should try to do.
We're getting away from the on-the-fly legislation.
I understand.
But we could amend the current ordinance in the public hearing process in a few weeks to limit this based on parcel size. That's something we could do within the draft language right now.
And seating? We could add
seating's no problem.
Seating's no problem either. But adding B1 is a problem.
Yeah. If the council wants B1, we would have to bring this back to you.
I just think there's a heck of a lot of shopping centers, Mike, and up you go up and down.
What about me?
George,
these areas.
What you're saying, I kind of go along with you, except for one thing. You've got to remember, these vendors are 2 different people in 2 different kind of jobs. One is a finished product, the other is a raw product. One could sell corn or something out of the field, and the other one could have a hamburger store or a store, what do we call it?
Stand.
A truck or stand. Mm-hmm. So there's 2 different kinds. Usually if you want a hamburger, you might want to come down. Our barbecue chicken is famous in this county. You might have barbecue chicken, and if you want customers, you're going to have a little place to wash your hands, and you're going to have an outhouse there. If not, they'll not be back. So most of the time, supply meets demand there. And then you go on the other side, and you look at the person. Why would he worry about furnishing outhouses and place to wash his hands if he's just selling sweet corn? So we're looking at two different types of people here. We can't. It's hard to bring everybody under the same roof. To me, that's the way I see it.
So you're suggesting, Sam, if I follow you, there should be. This should be just food, and maybe just food carts, and then one should be for vegetable vendors. I mean, or break it into two types of vendors, or something.
Break it to somewhere here because there's two different types of people.
Well, I would just say this maybe that we could that could be part of this kickout. That if the type of vendor wanting to locate at this site would require, or if it was the opinion of the director that there could be restroom facilities because of the nature of what they're doing, that he could say, no, it needs to be a kickout. So, that again, that could be the kickout. I don't know. Like I said, we're going to have all these different little categories because there could be so many different variations of it. And
well, you can't put them all in the same basket because I've done both. I've been on both sides. I was the president of Lions Club for years, and we always had to furnish someplace to wash your hands. If you didn't, they wouldn't be there. Sure. And then you got to have a place for them to go to bed, and you're going to have a picnic table, just a crude place.
And
most
seating.
Time for them to sit down.
The health department.
If you don't finish that, they won't be back.
Okay, but wouldn't the health department cover the requirements on hand washing?
They do.
For the people, right.
So we don't even need to worry about it. They'll take care of it, I guarantee you. They've got to sit.
Well, that's what we're asking. They're required to get agency approval.
Absolutely.
Okay, so they will be, under that agency, the health department, required to have these things you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
If they require it, then they have to do it. We're just saying they can locate here,
mm-hmm.
if they're right. We're not getting into the details of state agency requirements.
In other words, we should not keep our nose under this tent, seeing if they're doing everything the way it should, because the health department's already been there.
And we're going to be worried about setbacks,
and it will continue to come.
Like Sam, we're site plan requirements is what we're looking at. Not what they're doing, and if it is in violation of health department rules, mm-hmm. we're just looking at setbacks, right. Parking.
That's it.
Property management. So again, we don't want to complicate it.
We need
state agencies.
The intent of the draft language now is to have a threshold that if they are conducting activity, low impact activity. That's my terminology. Low impact activity.
Right.
Then they can come in, get a streamlined process and a permit, and go out and do their business. If they start going above that threshold with seating, with temporary bathrooms, with washing stations, then we can draft this so they're over the threshold, it's not low impact anymore, and they need to go through a more robust process.
Right.
This is for the guy that wants to set up quick, temporary, and conduct a vending service on a commercial property.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing we want to see is porta-johns sitting out in the middle in the parking lots out there, you know, by the road. It's just,
absolutely. And I don't think a business owner would want to see that either. That's why we're requiring the business owner to get
I think
to give
got
approval.
It. We can come back and amend it if we want to.
So we're not
B1,
clear
on though.
B1.
I would like to see B1 in there because we're going to get people calling up and saying, how come, you know, like a shop is, Lawrence, I don't know, do you want to maybe elaborate on the subtle differences between B1 and C1?
Are you okay with a B1 thing?
I mean, it really is. It's very similar except for a couple, you know, uses.
Wouldn't
you say?
Vince said it earlier, B1's the most restrictive commercial district that we have. The majority of them are small. There is a couple shopping centers because they are permitted shopping centers. They're limited on what they can do. They can't have automotive sales, trailer sales, boot sales, mini stores, that type of thing. That's typically the big items that would be restricted. But they are small parcels, and a lot of those parcels wouldn't work for the type of activity that's intended because the developer that's already there is already totaled out the use of the property.
Do you think it's possible then for you to insert a minimum parcel size that would be required on any, even if it's C1, because we have small C1s out there.
We have small C1s.
We have small C1s. We're all over the board on all this stuff. That's why I say I see very little difference between B1 and C1 and CR1.
We got to establish the use that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Typically not going to be a vacant parcel. It could be a vacant parcel, but typically not.
Mm-hmm.
You got to establish that they've got adequate parking to serve what's already there,
right.
And this would be an expansion to that parking. They may
require
additional parking, but the size of those takes up more than one parking space, and they mm-hmm. can't take up spaces that are required.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but you'll go through this process on every application or every application that comes in. You'll have to do that little bit of research. You could then determine that because of size, size could be a determination for a kickout. So we don't really need to maybe put a specified thing, but that ought to be a list of reasons why it goes to kickout.
I have something to say about this. It's end of March. The season's coming on us pretty soon. I really would like to see something basic adopted. And I know I agree with George, but I want to see if that's necessary. We'll go back and amend it. But, you know, time is of the essence here as far as the season for selling from these vendor carts.
Well, it seems like Mr. Arledge, you have a question, comment?
I do. Yes, sir. That would be, I did receive a call yesterday from a constituent, and as it relates to, they have a facility there on Route 113 down there in Dagsboro along the highway, and that parcel, of course, is a C1, I believe it is. It's all commercial on that highway, and so, but they are not selling. They basically are a temporary business in the sense that it's a seasonal business. But they are not doing, quote-unquote, you know, food or agricultural products. It's firewood, as an example. So is there a reason why that would or would not qualify for what we're trying to accomplish here? I don't see why we couldn't allow that because of what we're doing here. So in the end game, the goal here is to keep it simple for residents of Sussex County that have a business, that want to start a business, and keep it simple, right? If it's a simple operation, whereas it does not include seating, whereas it does not include permanent structures, whereas it does not include many of these things. So for me, is there a reason why we need to have a limitation on this type of business, i.e. food or agricultural products?
So to the example of the resident constituent that contacted you, not knowing the parcel specifically, but and the activity either, perhaps if it was commercial and it was only the sale of firewood, I'm not sure if that's not permitted in that zone. I that wouldn't require anything from us. I don't know that. We need more details to make a judgment on that. The intent of this ordinance was to specifically go after what we saw as the predominant use of temporary vending stands in this county on commercial lots, which specifically went to ag products because it's seasonal, and then food-related products. If we expand it beyond this, and this comes from some of the feedback we heard a week ago or last meeting, if we expand it beyond that to the sale of goods, you know, somebody that wants to sell lamps, that goes well beyond the intent of what we were being asked to provide, meaning staff. So that's why, from the feedback, we limited it to this, to the use of the ag and food only.
I could add to that: would firewood be considered an ag product? Because forest goods are considered agricultural products. Would firewood?
It shouldn't be any different than a typical produce market in a commercial district. They're just going in, setting up, and providing for display. They still need a site plan approval.
Still need
DLDOT approval, right, for the entrance.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's basically the only thing they really need would be DLDOT in the county approval in that instance. Let's say put up buildings.
So that's why I'm wondering, do we need to adjust the activity, number two there?
Well,
I'm just throwing it out there because...
Well, the issue is that the reason it's drafted, as Mr. Lawson said, is this is based on the feedback we got last time at council,
sure,
that it was food-related. I mean, what we're running into is, to Mrs. Deaver's point, is we're going to churn this to death before we even get it to the public hearing stage. I think that's an issue we can deal with at the public hearing stage, but we'd like to get it introduced maybe with the B1 change, now. But let's get it procedurally on the table so that we can start acting on it, so that we can pick up the temporary stands that want to get going for this summer.
I talked to some folks this morning who are here, and they're from Pennsylvania, which is very, very different, and not so difficult. And is that proper to have them say something during this discussion or not?
No.
I don't want to.
No.
You don't want to bring them in because they have something to add.
Well, because we have to have it introduced first.
That'll be the public
and then
hearing.
We have to have the public
right.
hearing
right.
and then people
right.
have an opportunity to speak.
But we're discussing at this point.
But it's not
okay.
a public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So two thoughts. So perhaps then, adding the change in the zoning, per Councilman Cole's thoughts, as well as, you know, a size, because I think that would be something for relevant, because if there's a size that goes beyond, or if it's too small, as an example, it could impact the guys next door, and they may have an issue with it. So I think size should be somewhere in here, I would think, as well, as it relates to that, as a thought.
If it's already commercial, it's already took care of it. So it's,
well, and the size is encompassed. There's other factors that are going to address size. I mean, because you could have a huge commercial parcel that's built out completely with all the parking that's required for those stores and stormwater management, and the parcel itself could be 25 acres, but because of what's on it, you can't fit this on here. Whereas at the same time, you could have, you know, a 10,000 square foot commercial piece of property that sounds small, but because there's not much on it, it makes sense to have a vendor. So I think the types of things that will govern this will be the parking, what's there already, and the drawing to see whether it fits or not.
And the planning and zoning department can look at it and kick it out based on certain. The only thing I think is we ought to have a clear list of a kick out would be such, you know, give some examples, such as, and some language saying, and similar, you know, concerns. But size could be one, tables could be one, and there could be others. And then again, we can maybe throw that out. But I'd like to see that maybe as in the synopsis or somewhere, so somebody knows what the heck a kick out is, so that each time we look at, you know, the kick outs aren't all over the place.
Well, it does say, it says, and we could add size in there, it says that it goes to the Board of Adjustment if there are concerns about the location. We could add the location and size. B, the effects on-site parking, neighboring properties or roadways, or other good cause. So there's some specific details in there, and it would be easy enough to just add the word or size next to location.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
Good. So let's just try to close this up here.
We're going to call it death. I'm fine with that.
The question we got right now is, do we want to include B1, and if so, they've got to go back and rewrite this and come back in 2 weeks. And
how long would that be?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
We
don't meet next Tuesday, so it'll be
so 2 weeks. In 2 weeks we could have it back in the next form. It wouldn't. This is all on a computer. They just plug it in and boom, right? Yeah.
But okay. It does. It's not something just because B1.
I understand.
Changes
I
understand. It. Quite
no, we. A bit. Todd's right. We want to get it right.
Do we want to include B1? That's the question.
I'll make a motion. That do we want to make a motion?
You can make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Sure. I'll second it.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Arlette, to include the zoning B1 in the proposed ordinance. Questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
No, I want to get it going and it's simple right now. And if we want B1 later, we can amend it.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Cole Wilson.
Yes.
But yes, motion carried. So we'll see you back here in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Thank you.
And we'll hopefully introduce it that day and move forward.
Very good.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Lawson, you're still up?
Yes, sir. Thank you. One note.